Hi, Charles here from Nerd with a Phone Podcast, and you are listening to Tokyo Munchies Podcast, hosted by Kyle, here on the IndieBlastNetwork.com and on Anchor.fm. Stay tuned and get yourself some Tokyo Munchies!
Hey-ya! And hey guys, welcome back to the Tokyo Munchies Podcast. Sorry, it's a little bit slow getting this upload today. Had a couple of issues online, dealt with, but it's all good now. So we're going into the heart of the beast. We want to talk about the good stuff, and then actually we're not talking about the good stuff. We're talking about the normal stuff, the Tokyo weather and Japan news, and then we'll get into the good stuff. So today in Tokyo, it is 4 o'clock, 4:11 to be precise. It's clear, it's sunny, it's a beautiful day out here in Japan. It's really nice. We've been in the pool in the garden all day, and it's been a really, really nice day. So it is 4 o'clock. The weather is clear. It's 26 degrees Celsius, and it is 79 degrees Fahrenheit for you guys over there in the US of the A. Precipitation is at 10%. That's probably accurate. It does have a slight feeling, a slight chance of rain. I don't really see it. I don't really feel it. I'm outside, so I can see it, but precipitation is at 10%, humidity is at a lovely 32%, and wind speed is at 3 ms. So it's not really breezy. I can't feel anything outside, it's just dry and still. So that is the Tokyo weather, and forecasting for like the next week before the next podcast, we've got Thursday around about the same, no rain predicted. Friday is going to be more cloudy, a little bit of sun. Saturday looks like it's going to rain. Sunday, cloudy, a little bit sunny. Monday and Tuesday is going to be cloudy. And next week, Wednesday, when we do the next podcast, it's going to be rainy. Let's double check that. It's saying rain. Ooh, 60% rain. Yeah, so there's a good chance next Wednesday, when we do the next podcast, it's going to be rainy. But that's okay. That's life. Ups and downs. Sunny days and rainy days. And into the next part of the podcast, into the good stuff, and the Japan news, number one, number two, number three. The previous podcast, guys, we've been ignoring the elephant in the room, so we had to scroll through the japannews.com to find just positive, happy stuff. So, Japan news number one, dyed fabrics await summer festivals in Japan. The dyed cotton fabrics were seen drying in the sun at a dye house in Edogawa Ward, Tokyo, on Wednesday. The fabrics, each more than 10 meters long, will be used to make tenugi. Oh, sorry about my bad pronunciation. Tenugi? Thin hand towels for summer festivals and other purposes. The fabrics swaying in the wind under the early sky were beautiful to see. It's a nice thing. See, there's positives and negatives. It's a nice thing. The summer festivals, a lot of them have been cancelled, and all the firework festivals here for some have been cancelled due to the elephant in the room, but it's nice to see some things are slowly creeping back to normal. I'm going to skip that. I'm just going to scroll through the page just to keep positive, guys. We want fun stuff about Japan. Fun stuff. Okay, Japan news number two, Nara. Nara is the area, I think it's south of Tokyo. It's a beautiful part of Japan. It's really, really nice. It's a little bit close to Kyoto, which is the old capital. But the mountain ridges, here's the headline. This is the gold headline. Guys, quiet please, I'm trying to record. Sorry about that, guys. Here we go, Japan news number two. Nara mountain ridges tinged with spring colors likened to dragons rising to the sky. Now, how beautiful is that? You could not come up with a better heading than that. Mountain ridges tinged with spring colors likened to dragons rising to the sky. And if you've ever been to Japan, if you've ever been to Nara, and Nara is a really super beautiful place, it does look like it. Like, there's these beautiful mountains and valleys, and on top of the mountains, there's all these beautiful trees which are in the spring color still, but they're slowly changing into summer. But there's pinks and greens and yellows and oranges, and it does look like dragons rising to the sky. It does look exactly like that. It is really, really beautiful. That's Japan news number two, and Japan news number three. Let's find something else which is fun. No. Hey. Oh, this one. This one's cool. Okay, Japan news number 3. University of Tokyo Institute aims to create real fake meat. Now, hang on. Real fake meat. So, fake meat is fake meat, but you're creating real fake meat. I don't really understand that, but that's what we're looking at. So, to recap on that heading, University of Tokyo Institute aims to create real fake meat. Here's the blurb. When eating hamburgers, sausages, or steaks, you enjoy the unique texture of beef or pork, the juice, the meat, the taste, the fat spreading through your mouth. These are the real delights of meat. So, how can we create real fake meat? Is the question we want answers to. And, they're not going to let me do it. Come on. I'm going to click on the link one more time. I just want a little more info. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to log in or sign up to that. I just want to read the article. Just like you people. Anyway, so that was it. So that's Japan news number 1, number 2, number 3. We're going to go to a promo break right now, guys. And then we'll come back with the Tokyo Munchies. We'll talk about some Japanese candy and some good stuff. We'll see you after this short break.
Need something delivered? Do you need dinner? Groceries? Did you forget to stop and buy that bottle of tequila? Postmates is here for you. If you haven't tried Postmates before, we have a great deal for you. Just by setting up a new account and using the code INDIEFOOD, you will be eligible for $100 in delivery fee credits for the first 7 days of your membership. Don't wait. Go to Postmates.com and use the code INDIEFOOD. That's INDIEFOOD. Postmates. Anything, anytime, anywhere. Postmate it.
Hey-ya! Hey guys, welcome back to another Tokyo Munchies podcast. And no, you're not hearing double. Actually, yes, you are hearing double because we missed our publishing deadline last week. Again, I'm very sorry about that, guys. We try to keep this Wednesday weekly, but every now and then I just get a little bit snowed under, literally. And I just miss a publishing date, so I'm really sorry about that. So we're going to continue on with the Tokyo Munchies podcast. I'm going to keep in the first part of this podcast last week's introduction. And we're going to continue on with this week's introduction. So it's going to be a 2-for-1 on the Japan news and the Tokyo weather. And so we'll go straight into the beast. We're going to go straight to the Tokyo weather because I think it's probably an important one this week, considering what it was like last week. Last week was so nice. It was, I think, around 27 to 29 degrees. It was cool. It was breezy. It was sunny. It was clear. We were talking t-shirts, shorts, no socks, walking around barefoot, in the pool, in the garden, in the hammock, in the tent. There was all types of great summer activities happening. And it was fantastic. It was a bloody beautiful week. But this week has dropped into something which I dare say is just dastardly and nasty. This week has been raining and cold, and the temperature has dropped right down to what it was last week. It's crazy. So I'll give you the stats. I'll give you the numbers. The numbers on what's happening with the weather, because it's just weird, man. It's weird. Weird. So here we are. We missed the deadline for yesterday too, which is our normal publishing day, so we're going to do this Thursday today. Tokyo weather. It's Thursday. It's just gone 2 o'clock. It's cloudy. It's at a lovely 14 degrees Celsius compared to last week where it was at 28, 29. So for you lads over there in America, that is 57 degrees Celsius. 14, it's a bit chilly. Precipitation is at 40%. Humidity is at 70% and the wind is at 1 mm. So the top today is at 14 and it's cloudy, and the bottom will be 10 tonight. Yesterday was just nasty. It was just nasty. It was windy. I think the top for yesterday was around 13 or 14 as well, and it dropped down to about 9 or 10 at night, and I was outside
having a chat to the cat, because the neighbor's cat always comes over for a chat. Yeah, it almost felt like it was going to snow. And this is the end of spring, going into summer, so this is when we should have really beautiful weather, but it was just goddamn nasty. It was just terrible. Ugh.
I love the cold weather when it's snowing, and I've got my snowboard strapped on, and we're macking it down the cat tracks in Hakuba, or we're just hitting the pow. But I just don't like it. I don't like the cold too much when I'm stuck in the city. It's not very nice. Anyway, so that's the Tokyo weather, and I'm just going to give you a quick breakdown of the forecast we're looking at over the week. Friday is going to pretty much be the same. It's going to be a little bit warmer, but it's going to be cloudy and rainy. Saturday is going to be up to 23. It's going to be cloudy and rainy. Sunday and Monday, we're clearing up 25s, 26s. Should be partially clear during the day, getting back to that warm weather. And next week, dropping back in... Oh, no. Next week, 27s. Cool, we're getting warmer again, but it's going to be cloudy and rainy, possibly next week too. So that is the Tokyo weather for this week and today. And we'll go into the Japan news, because we're doing a double-up podcast on the intro for you guys this week. I was reading through the Japan news from Google today. It was pretty interesting. It's pretty funny, actually. There's some issues going on in the Tokyo news right now. So the Tokyo news number one, number two, number three. If you've been following any of the Japan news, Prime Minister Abe has been trying to push a bill which raises the retirement age from 63 to 65 for prosecutors. And that was met with some fairly heavy public backlash, and then also in the Diet, the Japanese White House. And to top that all off, Hiromu Kurokawa, he is the superintending prosecutor for the Tokyo High Public Prosecutor's Office, who has told those around him he will step down following a report in a weekly magazine that he was playing mahjong for money during the state of emergency. Now this one's a really funny one. This one made me chuckle a little bit. So Mr. Hiromu Kurokawa, as I mentioned, he's the superintending prosecutor. Last week, he was playing mahjong for money, so he's gambling, playing mahjong for money, with two news reporters for newspapers here in Japan, plus another reporter from another newspaper. If you're not sure on gambling legalities here in Japan, you can't gamble for money. All throughout Japan, there's pachinko parlors. Pachinko parlors are like the Japanese style of a casino, but in Japan, it's illegal to gamble for money. So when you go to a pachinko parlor, you use your money to buy your balls, your little balls, or your little tokens. You go to your slot machine. You either use a slot machine which uses the tokens from the pachinko parlor, and you put them in, and you play like the slot machine. You got three buttons, you hit them, one, two, three. You're trying to line them up, and you get little balls back. And the balls you can use to cash out for a gift. And the other style of machine they have is another machine where you put the balls in, and it's sort of like I can't remember the name of it now. And what's that game, guys, where you have little flappers on the side and the ball comes down and you try to hit it back up onto the screen? Anyway, that word will come back to me later. I'm losing my English living here in Japan. So the other game you got is a game like that, where you feed the balls in, and then you press a button, and they bounce around, and you try to catch them in little pockets to get prizes. But anyway, all that said and done, let's get a little bit off topic. After you've finished wasting all your cash, you take your earnings, which are all these little silver balls, and you take them up to the counter, and they weigh them, and then they give you a present. And then you take your present outside of the pachinko parlor, through a small little window in a building close by called a TUC, I don't know what that stands for, and you give them the present, and then they give you cash. So you're not gambling for money, you're gambling for a small present which you can exchange at a different business close by for cash. So I don't want to get more off this topic, but just one more thing. So Japan word of the day, pachinko. Pachinko. Pachinko is a sound a slingshot makes when you put a small metal ball into a slingshot and you shoot it at something, it's pachinko. Bounces off something. Pachinko.
So when you're in a pachinko parlor, all you can hear is pa-ching, 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 pachinko. That's why it's called pachinko. So, back on point, gambling for money in Japan is illegal, but you can do it the way I just explained. So this guy, he's a superintendent prosecutor. He was playing mahjong for money, which is illegal because he's gambling for money. He wasn't gambling for a toy. With a newspaper reporter, sorry, two newspaper reporters, and another reporter from another newspaper. And it was leaked in a magazine that he did this. So now he's been forced to retire. But come on, basic common sense. You are engaged in an illegal activity. You're a superintendent at the prosecutor's office, and you're engaged in an illegal activity with three reporters from newspapers. How the hell do you not think it's going to be leaked to somebody else? You never do anything precarious with reporters, because what are they going to do? They're going to report it. That's what they do. That's their job description, reporter. Anyway, it's a long one. That was Japan number one. I just thought that was pretty funny. Japan number two, messaging app Line 10, Japan's online diagnostic market. So free messaging app Line plans to throw its hat into the online diagnostic ring via mobile devices early this summer. As demand for mobile online medical care has increased in the wake of the elephant in the room, Japan's foray into this type of service is likely to spread in Japan. So basically, to sum that up, Line, which is a super popular messaging app over here in Japan, is going to make an app which has something to do with the elephant in the room. And I'm not going to go into that. News number three. Property owners in Japan work with tenants to help cover rent. That's nice. So rent payments have become a problem for business people in areas where the state of emergency and calls for shutdown continue in the wake of the elephant in the room. While major real estate companies have started providing financial assistance, even small and medium-sized businesses who own property will do the same, which is nice. So they're doing similar what they're doing in Australia and America. They're making it easier for people to live without having to worry about paying rent, because rent here is horrendous, man. Like, I'm paying about $1,500 a month for pretty much what I'd pay for one room in Australia. So It's pretty expensive. So, So, that's pretty much Japan news number one, number two, number three. Sorry, I had some background noise there, guys. I had to get the fingers clicking to quiet that down. We're going to go into a commercial break, and then come back and we'll talk about some Japanese candy, talk about some other stuff, and we'll see you after this. G'day guys, this is Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations down here in Australia, the land down under. I'd just like to say a big shout out to Tokyo Munchies. We just started sponsoring these guys. They're a cracker group of lads. We saw last year about their potato crisis, the Japan potato crisis, and we took interest in that because we want to make sure that you guys up there in the northern hemisphere have a steady supply of spuds. Spuds is what we call potatoes down here in Oz. Yeah, so this is Pete's Potato Plantation, proudly sponsoring the Tokyo Munchies podcast. Have a good listen, guys, and head over to their shop. I think it's called tokyomunchies.ticktail.com. Head over there, grab yourself some Japanese candy, say g'day to Kyle and his wife Kiniko and the family, and tell them that Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations sent ya. Have a crack of a day, guys, and get some spuds up ya. Cheers. Alrighty, thank you Pete from Pete's Potato Plantations down there in Oz. So, talking about Japanese candy, that's what we're here for. That's why it's called Tokyo Munchies, because I sell Japanese candy. I'm a sugar pusher. I love it. You love it. We all love it. That's what we're here for. Anyway, I'm going to talk about one of my favorites, one of my go-tos, what I have in my pocket every single day, all the time, and I just can't stop eating them because I love them. Mintia from Asahi. Mintia, like my good friend Max in Australia, he buys boxes and boxes of these, and he buys them in bulk all the time because he can get the standard flavour, like the standard flavour minty mints, but he can't get what we have over here in Japan, which are the unique Japanese ones, like the
dry hard or the wild and cool or the frozen citrus. We have some pretty cool ones over here in Japan, which are really unique. So my two go-to favorites are the dry hard, that's in the black case, or the frozen citrus. What I love about mint here, the little packets, they're about the size of a credit card, and they have this little door on the side, you just click it open. And it's like a tic-tac pack, it has a little recess inside the door. And the idea is, same as a tic-tac pack, you know tic-tacs, you open a pack of tic-tacs, has a little recess, tic-tac fits perfectly in that recess. So the same with the mint here. You shake the mint here, the little mint falls in that little recess, and when you open that little door, bing, there he is, and you can flick it straight into your mouth. A little drop in your hand, put in your mouth, either way you want to do it. But yeah, that's one of the things I love about mint here. I love the small packet, I love the ingenuity, which makes it easier to eat the mints. Pretty much all mint here range are all sugarless, which are fantastic. I love the dry hard, so I'll talk about my top two first, my favorites, and then we'll go on to the full range of them. So the dry hard, I love them because, as the name says, they're dry and they're hard. And the packaging has a big picture of a flame on it. And the dry hard mints are great because they freshen your breath and also they have caffeine in them. So they freshen your breath and they hit you pretty hard. When you put one in your mouth, it's like, holy snapping cats. It wakes you up instantly and it gives you that caffeine burst. So it gives you that little bit of a pep to get you through your day. If you just need something on the run, you just quickly rip one out of your pocket, bang, bang, no one sees it, and you're on your way, feeling a little bit more energized. So I love the dry hards, those are my always go-to. But they just released this new one called the Frozen Citrus, and this one's great because this one is focused towards athletes. Again, it's sugarless, and the flavor is frozen citrus, so it's got that icy cold mint pop when you pop it in your mouth, and also has that beautiful orange flavor. But the best thing about the frozen citrus is it has vitamins B, C, and A. So not only does it give you that fresh breath and that pep in your step, it also helps you to maintain good vitamin levels during the day. So it's specifically aimed at athletes, but anybody can have it. It's fine. But I just enjoy that. I enjoy that freshness from it, the frozen citrus, and I can actually feel it. You can feel it. You can feel that energizing factor from those, just having that little tiny minuscule hit of that vitamin during the day when you pop on every few hours, or if you're like me, every 30 minutes, which is probably not recommended, but I love them. They're addictive. They're good value. So Mintia's got a really, really wide range of products. They had the classic ones I was talking about then. Let's have a quick look at their products. So they've got a lot of different flavors. The wild and cool, which I talked about earlier, it's like, let's go through the read-ups on the website here. So the Mintia wild and cool, it's a limited time Japan packaging. I think it's in conjunction with the Olympics. It's a cool and comfortable standard mint tablet with a clear mint taste and a strong stimulation. That sounds pretty cool. This is another classic one too, the Mintia Cold Smash. This is a super refreshing mint tablet characterized by a mint taste with a feeling of nasal discharge. Coolness and transparency at the moment you put in your mouth. Wow, man. I'm not sure. This is a Google Translate of the website, so it's going to be a bit weird. Another classic is the Mintia Dry Hard we talked about. A couple of new ones, the Mintia Kachin Mint. Okay, this is a tea mint tablet, so it's a green tea flavored mint tablet. They've got the Lime Mint Crush, which is another new one. The Frozen Citrus, which I talked about. Mintia grape flavored, if you like grape for your breath, that's cool. Gives you grape flavor. This is another interesting one. Mintia Aquapark. It's a grain. A refreshing tablet characterized by a moderate sweetness and a refreshing aftertaste. Really? Seriously, guys? You gotta hire me to write your website product descriptions. Calpis and Mintia. If you're not aware about Calpis is like a... It's a really old style Japanese drink. It's like cordial, like a concentrate. So typically you get a bottle of Calpis, you put a little bit in a glass and then add water. and it's, yeah, it's like a milky cordial thing, and they chose a lovely name for the product, Cal. It's pronounced Calpis, but as you all know, all us English speakers out there, Calpis. So you're drinking cow piss. Ugh. But yeah, there's a cow piss mintier. There's a mintier bellows. This is made from a Wakayama Prefecture. Citrus, yeah. Oh, the mintier sakura. I still have them available in the sakura pack, so there's still some of them available if you want some. Mintier coffee, yeah, the coffee flavored mint, which is pretty nice. Then going on, there's a Mintier Breeze range. They've got the Refresh Blue, the Shiny Pink, and the Crystal Silver. These are a larger version of the Mintier Classics. The Reset Whites in the Mintier range there too. They also have, we can skip through all that. And they also have the Mintier Extra Care, which is a larger packaging, a larger mint again. The flavors they have in there is a Herb Mint. It gives you a flavor of herbs, a refreshing feel. The yogurt mint, if you like the sourness of yogurt and that on your breath. And it comes in a smart bottle. This one's the Mintia Mega Hard. Mintia Mega Hardor. Comes in a small bottle, excellent storage. And it's a mega hard large mint. It's a black packaging with big flames all over it. You know that's going to be good. And while we'll keep going, we'll go into the product history of the Mintia. So Mintia was launched by Asahi in 1996. Starting off with like a very tic-tac reminiscent packaging and then going to the new modern credit card style packaging. So let's have a quick look at their history. From 1996 to 2020. Let's have a quick look here. I'll click on their website, see what you have to say about that. Release of Mintia starts vertically. So yes, as we said, the packages are credit card size now with a little door on the bottom, but they started vertically like Tic Tacs. The origin of the name Mintia can be seen at a glance with a mint tablet. Mint tablet, Mintia. It's a good balance of feeling and English, as the website says, righty. They released Wild and Cool in 1997 and some other one called Soldam Mint, the first fruit mint. Oh, and Dry Hard came out in 1998. Cool, man. Like it. Then there was the Wild and Cool Renewal. Then they launched the Aqua Blue Mint, the Choco Mint, and the Wild and Cool Double Label. All right, I don't know what that means. It's not really important. 2000 was the premiere of the Peach Mint and the Ume Mint. Peach, you know, peach. Ume is plum. First ever plum product from Mintia. 2001 was the Wild, it's all Wild and Cool, the Grape Blend, the first Grape Mint, and the Lime Mint, which is a predecessor of Lime Mint, and Dry Hard Renewal. 2002 releases the Wild and Cool, the Aqua Smash, and the first Parsley Seed Oil combination. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Also, another renewal of the Dry Hard. 2003, it was the first hydroxyapatite mint. Pardon my pronunciation on that. But they had a spearmint, a natural green tea flavored, and all the first release of the baby strawberry mints, plus the first green tea polyphenol combination. Doesn't sound like stuff you want to eat, hey? 2004 saw the lemon lime, predecessor of the lime mint, and also the release of orange and mango. 2005 was a renewal of the Wild and Cool and the Aqua Park, plus again another renewal of the Dry Hard. Just keep renewing Dry Hard all the time. 2006, Flowering Cherry Mints, and the first barcode design, the 10th anniversary. 2007, the first two color assortments, Flowering Cherry Mints. Ooh. 2008, First Relief included. What's that? First Relief included. Okay, I have no idea what that means by that. Miracle cherry flavor, though. Interesting. 2009, the Cold Smash was launched, and the first candy chip included. Peach and Peach, Mintia. Plus a 4-pack. Ooh, I didn't know about that. I'll have to check that out. 2010, the first metallic label plus hologram label. I remember that, actually, because I was in Japan in 2009. They had really rad Mintia holographic metallic labeled mints, and they were really cool, man. They were really, really groovy. There's a Miracle Cherry, 2011, the first Aroma Beads. Man, I'm not going to eat Aroma Beads mint. The first matte label with the Powerful Plum in summer 2012, Wild Cool Renewal, plus, again, surprise, surprise, a Dry Hard Renewal. 2013 was the Kalpis Mintia, the Mega Hard Box, and the first 100% fruit juice containing Aroma Beads Mintia, the Italian grape flavor, and the first xylitol combination Mintia, a peach cooler. 2014 saw the Wild and Cool Renewal again, with the first embossed label, and the release of Mintia Breeze, that bigger packet, the bigger mint I was telling you about. We're getting close to now, 2015 Dry Hard Renewal again, Mintia Breeze, Mintia Mint, and Golden Peach's first foil-stamped Golden Peach packet. 2016 Wild Cool Anniversary, 20th Anniversary, the Mintia Crystal Silver, the first freeze-dried powdered formulation Mintia Mash Strawberries, the first use of temperature-sensitive ink on the Kalpis Mintia Go For It. That was pretty cool. It was temperature-sensitive ink, so it got hot, it changed color, it got cold, it changed color. Wild and Cool 20th Anniversary Redesign, and again, surprise, surprise, a Dry Hard 20th Anniversary Design Redesign Renewal. 2017 Wild and Cool Renewal. The launch of the Mintia X Care, which is dental. And this one was rad, I was selling this. The Mintia Halloween Phosphorant Ink. That was a cool pack. It was a Halloween edition Mintia. The pack was rad. It had a glow-in-the-dark pack, which was really cool. The Mintia credit card casing was changed to a clear orange. It had this really beautiful Halloween-style design on it with bats and skulls and pumpkins and stuff. And the flavor was orange and cassius, and it was really nice. It was really, really good. I sold a lot of those. They were really popular. 2018 was the Cold Smash Renewal. The release of the Mintia Breeze Oasis Gold. The Mintia Halloween had a removable decoration sticker, so you could remove it for sticking on stuff, which is really cool. Plus the limited winning support limited design products for sale. That's a mouthful. Alright, guys. They did that in the Wild Cool, the Cold Smash, the Dry Hard. 2019, we're almost there. Simultaneous renewal of the first three core products. It was a renewal of the Wild and Cool, the Mintia Breeze, the Mintia Breeze, the Mintia Cold Smash, the Mintia Dry Hard, surprise, surprise, renewal of Dry Hard every year. And finally, 2020, the Wild and Cool renewal, the Wild and Cool Japan package. So guys, that is pretty much it for the munchies for today. We're talking about Japanese candy for today. That is a pretty thorough breakdown of the Mintia progression from 1996 all the way up to 2020. As you probably would have noticed, there's a lot of renewal going on there. There was a lot of really cool product releases in that time frame, and that brought back a lot of good memories. So we're going to end this now, go to a commercial break, come back, talk about a few other things, talk about events, Hakuba, Tensucker Sports, my magazine, The Munch, which, again, we missed the publishing date, and something else. So we'll be back after this short commercial break. Stay tuned.
There are 24 hours in a day. One third of the day is spent in bed. Now, why not be in the most comfortable you can get? Layla mattresses are more than just a foam mattress. They are copper-infused and flippable. That's right, flippable. If you like a harder mattress, use one side. If you like a softer mattress, flip it over and voila. And the great thing about Layla is getting to try it out for 120 nights. That's right, 4 months. And if you decide that you don't like the mattress, Layla will pick up the cost of shipping it back and give you a full refund. Layla also offers bamboo sheets, weighted blankets, and memory foam pillows. And if you act soon, you can take advantage of their spring sale. $150 off a mattress and 2 free pillows. That's a $300 value. Plus, they are offering $30 to $50 off accessories. If you would like to take advantage of this great deal, simply follow the link in the show notes to let them know we sent you and to help support the show. Layla Sleep, thoughtfully designed for the most cool, clean, comfortable sleep imaginable.
Oh,
Alright, and guys, welcome back. Sorry about that. I'm playing YouTube video there. Anyway, so this is pretty much going to wrap up this week's Tokyo Munchies podcast. So we'll go into the shout-out time now and the sponsors time. So first up, I'd like to give a big shout-out to Nate at Indie Blast Podcast. Nate is a legend. He's always cool. He's always sending us over some cool stuff and always promoting all our podcasts across his website. He's a really nice guy. So if you have a podcast, please help Nate at IndieBlastNetwork.com. If you're interested in joining the join the team and being part of the podcast revolution at Indie Blast. They also have some products. They sell shirts and some cool stuff too, but the important part here is the podcast. So let's have a look and see what we've got on the page just to give you guys a breakdown. We've talked about this before, but I just wanted to share all the podcasts which are on there. So we have Everyone Has a Story, which is Nate's podcast. He interviews people all around the world and just interviews them about their story, because everybody does have a story to tell. We have the Simpleton Review podcast, which is a simple review about movies and music. Just makes it nice and simple, and it's from Nate again with his friends Lem and Charlie. Also, Ghosts in the Valley. Ooh, I think this is a new one. Let me check it out. Oh no, Ghosts in the Valley. Yeah, Ghosts in the Valley is true ghost stories. Ghost stories based on orbs, poltergeists, ghosts, and demons. So if you want something scary, go check out Ghosts in the Valley on Indie Blast Network. Nerd of a Phone, my good friend Charles. Get a phone, get notified with Nerd of a Phone. Check out his podcast. He's always got some good value going on. Let's see if there's anything new on here. He always does new stuff all the time. He's pretty active on Twitter too, so get notified with Nerd of a Phone. Yeah, his recent podcast just came out today. It's news to me. So he has a new podcast out, so go check that out. Get Grim. Get Grim is another podcast on there. It's a weekly podcast for the young fairy tale teller, folklorist, or mythologist in your life. It's a Grim podcast from Kayla Knight. It's a nice one. Tokyo Munchies, obviously, we're on there. Pardon me, clear my voice. I don't have the elephant in the room. I just sore throat. Stories of Yore and Yours is on there. Stories of Yours and Yours is a weekly short story podcast hosted by Sean Ennis. It narrates classic short stories using sound effects and music to bring them to new life. It's a really interesting podcast. I actually quite like listening to this guy. He's got some really cool stuff. And he just did a special bonus mini episode today, a welcome one, which is cool. It's nice. The Missing Piece. Hang on, I'm a little bit behind the times here. Ooh, The Missing Piece. I think this is a slightly new one. By Al Cooley. It's based on true crime, mysteries, and conspiracy theories. We all like that. Oh, Gary, thank you for sending me a message. That's nice. I'll reply to you in a minute, mate. And there's two. Thank you, Gary. And My Vinyl Opinions, another podcast on there by Al Cooley. He's got two. He's going really hard. Really hard. Good on you, Al. Give it heaps, mate. Give it heaps. Fair shake of the sauce bottle there, mate. So each and every Friday, Al Cooley brings out a new vinyl record review and rated on a 5-star system, so go check him out. He's got some cool stuff. And at last, be engaged and inspired. This is sharing our wedding experiences, knowledge, and hope to educate and inspire engaged couples. This is by Kier Madsen. This is a nice podcast about exactly what they say. Wedding experiences, being engaged, getting married, and all the good stuff in between. So, Indie Blast Network. Again, sorry guys. IndieBlastNetwork.com. Jump on there if you want to have an easy way to access a lot of great podcasts in one simple place and with a wide variety of content. So go check them out. And I'm not going to pass up this last shout out segment without shouting out a few of my good stuff which I've got going on here. I just recently joined Pickfair. So if you don't know anything about Pickfair, it is an online service which you can upload pictures that you take from anywhere in the world. It's free to join. They do have a Pickfair Plus program as well. So Pickfair is really cool. If you've got really good photographs that you'd like to sell online, go join Pickfair for free. You can sign up and pay to use their Plus if you're an exceptional photographer, like my good friend J. Grant Britton. He's an amazing skateboard photographer. But Pickfair, I've just recently joined them, and I'm uploading all my pictures in Japan. Actually, not all my pictures in Japan. I'm uploading just quality pictures in Japan, which are available for sale online, fully copyrighted. So if you are a budding photographer or interested in photography, join Pickfair and try to sell some of your great shots with the world, and it's good value. Another thing I'm still working on, Tokyo Munchies magazine, the Munch magazine, volume 2. It's a bit of a beast, this one, because it's my first magazine, the Munch magazine, was volume 1, was just a 10-page edition, like volume 1, bang. Volume 2, we've upped it to a 20-page magazine because a lot of people said, I read your magazine, it was really funny, I want more, it's just not enough. So we've made it 20 pages, but I'm just trying to fill in the content, which is just a little bit of a struggle on a creative aspect, but I'm getting there with content. I'm hopefully release it tomorrow, I'll work on it tonight. So yep, the Munch magazine volume 2, get ready for that because it's jam-packed with new content. There's going to be online checkers games, there's going to be quarantine cooking with John, there's going to be why it's a bad idea to wear a mask in a bank, there's going to be sitting in my pool while walking in my garden with Kyle, a crossover with my podcast, there's going to be some weird stuff in there, man. Scratch Sniff magazine, all type of good value. Also, my baby Tokyo Munchies, selling Japanese candy to you good people all around the world. Unfortunately, I had an order from my great mate Joe Dees in the US at the A. He ordered a munchie pack and a gashapon, but due to shipping being suspended in Japan, I can't ship. But I'll be working on Tokyo Munchies. It's not going to die. The website will still be there selling Japanese candy. We'll be updating that as restrictions lift on shipping. I'm sort of treading water on that right now because I feel it's not really a productive use of my time to update that website if I can't ship anything. But I can still keep you informed on the podcast about new stuff coming out. And everything has a good shelf life, so I can stock it all up and ship it. If you really, really want some Japanese candy, reach out to me at Tokyo Munchies with a Z. Tokyo Munchies, spelled with a Z. At gmail.com. You can find that on Facebook, you can find that on my Instagram, on my Twitter, and I can ship via DHL, but it does cost an arm and a leg, so if you really want some Japanese candy, yeah, jump on, email me, message me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I can get it to you, but I'm not paying shipping, you have to pay it, and it's expensive, so I'm sorry. Ten Sucker Sports. We're still working on that. We've got two different online stores which are selling quality sports clothing. We have a lot of plans in the work with Ten Sucker Sports. We're going to build a sports team. I'm going to sponsor athletes all around the world in all different disciples, mainly tennis, golf, basketball, volleyball, netball. I'm going to sponsor some skateboarders too. I actually have a guy I'm chatting to, Michael Hall in America. I wanted to sponsor him, but due to the current global issues, I can't really sponsor anybody right now, but we are building a sports team for Ten Sucker Sports, so if you're interested, hit me up. And so that is pretty much it. IndieBlastNetwork.com, Ten Sucker Sports, Tokyo Munchies, The Munch Magazine, my pick fair pictures of Japan up there online, and yeah, that's pretty much it. So guys, thank you very much for tuning into this podcast, and once again, I apologize for being late. I hope you enjoyed the double intro. It was a bit random. I'm going to really push hard to get the Munch Magazine Volume 2 posted tomorrow, published tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. And apart from that, you know what's going to happen. This is Kyle from Tokyo Munchies signing off. If you've got the munchies, then we've got the munchies. Tokyo Munchies. Yeehaw!